Please turn to Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of the sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free.
Now, our second reading today is from Exodus 32, 1 through 14. It's a story you're all aware of, you've all read it, but let's dive into it and learn something from an animal again. Not a living one this time, from an animal. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off the golden earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Funny thing, the cows got out and found like cows again. Coincidences line up. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, "Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord." So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them, and made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it, and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt.' I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains, and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger. Relent and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I'll give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." So again, here we are in Lent, and man, it's just flying by. I looked at the calendar again, I was like, oh man, next week's Palm Sunday and then Easter, sneaking up on me. As I've been trying to get across these past couple weeks, what is Lent? It's this period before Easter, where we focus on Christ and prepare our hearts and our minds for that splendid Easter morning. As a church, we are spending this time hearing from animals to teach us lessons about Christ and help us prepare for Easter. Now, so far, we've heard from a donkey, we've heard from a dove, we've heard from a chicken, of all things, a vulture. And this week, a little bit from a cow. Now, next week, I'll give you a little sneak peek. I know you guys love the donkey. I think it may have been your favorite so far. So we're going to go back to the donkey and learn another lesson from it. It's going to be fun. So to get into this cow, what lesson does it have to teach us today? This big golden calf. What does it have to do anything today with us? Well, first, let's start with a story. A couple years ago, a guy, he was working his way through graduate school. He was a paramedic. Now I've been in school, I couldn't imagine being a paramedic of all things. I worked with children, and that was enough. I couldn't imagine something crazy like that. But he told of one of his most grisly experiences he experienced on the job. He received this anonymous call reporting a heroin addict was on the verge of death in this abandoned apartment building. When he got up to the apartment, the man was huddled in a corner, shivering, unresponsive, surrounded by this trash and all the stuff you use for heroin. When he asked what that was like, asked the paramedic, the guy, he said, this was, it was terrifying to see. but that he also thought it was probably the first time he fully understood what true worship looked like. Now, a lot of you are like, what do you mean worship? What does that have to mean? But in this case, the object of his worship, his idol, was this drug. Now, like all idolatry, which is just counterfeit worship in its basic meaning, it doesn't lead us to the promised land. Humans were not created to be godless, I don't believe. Some people would argue against me, but I believe it. We're created for something bigger than ourselves. Now, if you don't know this God we follow, there's a big void in your life. Something that your subconscious just pulls you towards, filling this void. Something that gives you direction, maybe purpose or a relationship with something, someone, whatever it is. Something bigger than yourself. A wise person once wrote, "The desire for God is the most fundamental appetite of all. It is an appetite we can never eliminate. We may seek to disown it, but it will not go away. If we deny that it is there, we shall in fact only divert it to some other object or range of objects. And that will mean that we invest some creature or creatures with a full burden of our needs. For God, a burden which no other creature can carry." The story of the Bible, we can look back at it, is a story of God and humankind. God trying to rebuild this broken relationship with us to fill that void, and us running away. We see that through the Old Testament with this story specifically. We see it through the New Testament. We see it throughout human history, and we can see it in our own daily lives. We see it when we're out on the playground at school, when we're in our offices, at home, at work, wherever it is. We can look back and see these times where we push God away and try to fill that void with something. No matter what it is, but with something. This story is of a lost people and of this loving God. A story of a very weak people and a very strong God. A story of a God who seeks us out. And the people who don't oftentimes want to be found. Now in our story from Exodus, we see a people who have given quite a bit. I mean, never have a people been so privileged as Israel, I believe. They've just been liberated from Egypt, set free after commonly believed about 400 years of slavery. You know, they were promised this great, vast stretch of land beside this terrible desert, but this land is fertile. You can grow, you can have animals, you can do all this great stuff for a great nation. They were led out by this great cloud, and at night, this fiery tornado kind of thing. I mean, God was there with them the whole way. He never left. And he gave like these big, great signs that he was there. So I don't believe anyone else has ever been privileged as much as Israel in this sense. They were to be God's witnesses to the whole world, to all the earth. Witnessing to the truth that there is only one true and living God in this world of many, many gods. So at this time, Moses, he went up to Mount Sinai. He received the religious civil laws of God, received the Ten Commandments. These laws were the form of their new nation, the backbone, almost, of what was to come. Something to govern the people, keep them together, and keep them with their eyes on the prize. But then abruptly, sadly it seems, a big catastrophe happens. They weren't attacked. It wasn't an earthquake. It wasn't anything except they figured Moses had been up there for a little bit too long. I don't think this is right. Something doesn't seem right here. So instead of trusting in God, trusting in Moses, figuring out he's up there, he's getting it figured out. We don't need to worry about anything. Instead, they take things into their own hands. They do their own thing, go their own way. And thus we have this sad and terrible tragedy of this golden calf. Now, does that sound sort of familiar in our lives as well today? Can we relate to these people of Israel? Can we look around and see others in this way? See those of us and those around us who have almost lose our faith at times, lose our trust in the God who has chosen us, delivered us, given us this privilege. Instead, we take these matters in our own hands. We say, oh, this big spot in our life. Well, knock God out of it. He's been up on the mountain too long. Or whatever it may be. Instead, we fill it with something immediate. And through this, we start to miss out on the good plans God has put in front of us. We start to not be able to see those, see this path. We start to fail in our love for God. We start to fail in our love for our neighbors. And fail to experience this abundant life Jesus offers us by following this almost blueprint, this way of life. And then when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. In other words, they're going for this quick fix, which we often do as well. Something to fill that God-shaped void. And for them, anything would do. Anything at all. Even a calf, a baby cow, of all things. So Aaron, he makes this golden calf, proclaims it as their God. This is it, guys. This is the one that led you out of Egypt. Not the nice big cloud you followed and the fiery tornado. Not the one that split the sea and drowned all the army behind you and led you out of slavery. Not him. But this golden calf that you can see, that you can touch, you can see the image of it. Something that's this quick fix. And it sure can happen fast, can't it? One moment we're being rescued from the slavery of sin, slavery of death, the way of the world, by following the risen Christ. Man, we're on a high, we're doing great. And next we find ourselves once again in bondage to the very things we had just given up, the very things that we had just given up because they had so much pain and confusion in the first place. You know, we live in a society that's this world that's just full of self-absorption, full of material objects to just grab hold of. I mean, it's right here. It's easy. Got it in my hands. It's real. I can feel it. I can touch it. It's real. What better? But we know that's not right. You know, we try to live our lives committed to worship in the church, worship with each other. We read the Bible. We pray. We serve others. We find this real freedom and this real love, this real peace. We start to grow and mature as human beings. We find ourselves as new creations, as Paul talks about. Then all of a sudden, things get a little tough. Things don't work out the way you planned it. Things don't go to plan. And our faith starts to get tested. When this happens, how often do we continue to abide in our true source of strength through the Lord? Not often enough. I like to say most of the time, at least for me, I don't know about any of you, but for me, most of the time, I turn right back to that golden calf, the one I just left behind. That self-absorption, that material object, that person, that feeling, that object, whatever it may be. And I forget about God. I fill that void with something else. That's not how it's supposed to be. The quality of our Christian journey, the quality of our lives, is based on the effectiveness of our witness for Jesus Christ. But all that depends on our personal choices. We Christians today, you know, we're just as prone to the lure of these golden calves, just as the Israelites were. I mean, oftentimes we look at these stories, especially the Old Testament, and say, no, like, we would never do that. We look at the story of the death of Jesus. We'll get to it in a couple weeks. We say we'd never be the one shouting, crucify him. We would never do that. But oftentimes, we're right there in the crowd. We're right there worshiping this golden calf, worshiping this or that or that. And that's just how it is. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're less likely to follow those things. You know, most people say you're more likely to. The temptation's more there in your face. It's easier to access. It's an easier path. So start thinking a little bit. What is your golden calf? Like I said, it's not difficult to get pulled away, to go to these golden calves. I mean, we're surrounded by so many things that cry for our devotion. And we allow ourselves to focus on these merciless idols. We quickly find ourselves drifting away from God. As we drift away from God, we begin to forget what is truly meaningful in life. We find it harder and oftentimes impossible to follow the teachings of Christ. Soon, instead of turning the other cheek, we're the ones doing the hitting. Instead of forgiving without limit, no matter what forgiveness, we start to hold grudges. We start to build these walls up between ourselves and others who have offended us even in the tiniest way. Anger and jealousy, they start to engulf us. Anxiety, insecurity enshroud us. We find that our Christian faith doesn't mean so much to us anymore. As we grope around in the darkness of the world, the darkness that our lives have become, where our relationship with God has become broken and blurred. Return to living life in the sinful, fleshy sense, which only brings doom and gloom and defeat, and ultimately death and sin. That's what we're called to get away from. Do the whole opposite thing. Now in Exodus today, in our reading this morning, this people's actions. Now like I said, we look at these, we never do that. We think, man, they surely should have been condemned by God for that one. That's extreme. To build this giant golden calf after they just witnessed so much, there's no forgiveness there. God's going to turn away. He's going to go to some other group of people. Or as he was saying here, he's just going to kill them all and start over. Start anew. That's easy. But that's not what happens here. I mean, as we see, God thinks about it for a second. But then he's like, no, that's not how it is. I'm not going to turn my back on my people. Moses, you're right. You've learned something. You're doing great. These stories are all through the Bible, this over and over. The Bible, it's our story as well. We, like so many people, have lived before us. We're groping for this true relationship with God, oftentimes without even realizing it. And we get off track. We chase other dreams, which are just that. You know, these dreams, they're dreams. Now, I'm not saying your dream career, your dream this, your dream that. What I mean is these, man, I dream of getting rich so I can buy this nice car, this big house. I dream of having this perfect job. Not to say those things aren't okay to shoot for in your life. I mean, do the best you can in this life. At least what God put us here. Do our best. But oftentimes we focus on these dreams so much, we forget about the most important part of our relationship with God. These dreams, they soon turn into these nightmares. So we come to the point where we stop. We realize, man, this void isn't filled with something good. It's actually something bad. I need to fill it with God again. That point where we repent, return to this one true source of strength, this kind, compassionate, grace-filled, and loving God, who never stops calling us into the never life, this new life with Him. No matter what we've done, this condemnation is there, but His forgiveness is right there too. It all depends on what you grant. You know, it's really oftentimes described as here's grace and here's judgment. You know, those are two choices. The judgment comes as God allows us to live in the consequences of our own decisions. I mean, He gave us His free will to make our own decisions. But He also says, you're going to live with consequences. I'm here to help you, but consequences are there. There's just grace on the other hand, which abounds as we accept this free gift of God with our free will of this unmerited invitation that we didn't deserve, we didn't earn, which allows us to live in God's decisions and reap these wonderful benefits of God's plans for us, to fill this void with God. Now God, He's calling everyone. Every one of us, everyone out in the world, it don't matter who you are or what you've done. It don't matter. It don't matter how great you are, the best Christian in the world, God's still calling them to throw away these golden calves. Whatever they are, whatever it is, He says, throw it away. Instead, embrace this salvation, this abundant life, which is made available for us through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. Which again, we'll get to in a couple of weeks. We'll get to that point hard. Now, in doing so, we will find ourselves walking into that promised land instead of wandering around as the deserts, as the Israelites did for those 40 years. Now, in a second, we're going to bow our heads in prayer, as we do at the end of every sermon. But during this prayer, really focus in, what is that golden calf in your life? What is it that haunts you, that you're filling this void with? What is it that's stealing your joy? Think of that. And also, think of what is God's purpose for your life. What is God calling you to do? What path is He calling you to follow? With those two things in mind, we're going to give that golden calf to God. We're going to dedicate ourselves to follow His path and walk free. Go pray with me. Lord, again, thank you for allowing us to gather here and to worship you in this true worship. Not this idol worship, not this counterfeit worship, but this true worship, Lord. And Lord, thank you for giving us this book full of all these, this history lesson, full of your love, full of your grace, to show us that the golden calf isn't the way to go, to fill our void with you instead. So Lord, give us the strength and the courage to face our golden calf and to throw it away. Lord, give us the strength and the courage to follow the path you set before us, which may not be the easiest path, but in the end, it's not the hardest path either. It's definitely obtainable. Lord, allow us to walk through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.